Good morning. My name is Omar Shaw. For those of you who don't know, I am the youth pastor here at Bethany Chapel. Preston is away getting some much-needed R&R time with his wife, so I will be speaking and sharing with you this morning. Knowing when and when not to speak is an important part of all relationships. We can all think of times where we've said too much or possibly failed to speak something we knew we should have. It's not hard for me to think of times when I've said something I really shouldn't have. Something that I should have probably given more thought. I most frequently find myself getting into trouble with my wife. When she asks me the question, And it's been a few years in marriage now. When she asks me the question about her outfit, how is it? I now know the question's loaded. It will always be loaded. Trick question. I love my wife, but sometimes I speak when I shouldn't. And then there are other times I can look back and I know I should have spoken up and I didn't. I remember being specifically in junior high, grade 7 and 8, I was bullied. And finally getting to grade 9, the bully eased up a bit. I remember being in grade 9 and seeing that one bully go up to a new student. He was from a different country. He looked a bit different. And the bully went up to him and he did exactly what he did to me. And there was anger inside me, and I wanted to say something, but I didn't. I didn't. I'm sure many, I wanted to stand up in that circumstance, but I didn't. Sometimes it's just really hard to know when to speak up and when not to speak up in a circumstance. I believe this is an issue for the whole church that we struggle with. When do we stand up for what is right? When do we intervene in a situation where we know our brother and sister is blatantly living in sin? The text we are going to look at this morning involves Nathan, and in particular, his words to David. Now, for anyone who has grown up in the church, you're familiar with David's story, his trials, the things he went through, his triumphs. There are, in fact, many today who would believe that we glorify David too much. We make too much of David. But according to the biblical account, David had a special relationship with God. So special that God's own son would come from his lineage. In 2 Samuel 7, 13 to 7, we see God speaking to David about a descendant that will rise up after him. Verse 14 in particular, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Here he is directly talking about Christ, who will come from David's lineage. It is clear to see that David did have a good relationship with God, and that God would bless him despite his sin. For those that do not know the story of David, I will attempt to summarize chapter 11 in 2 Samuel for you, as it sets the backdrop of where we will be in our text this morning. King David was in war, but at this time, he did not go and fight. He decided to hang back at the palace. He decided to hang back while his men were battling in the lines. Early in the evening, he goes and he walks on a roof, and he sees a woman bathing. And so he calls his servant over, and he says to his servant, who is this woman? And the servant says to him, that's Uriah's wife. He says, Uriah? Uriah, the one who is fighting your battle, the one who is fighting for your kingdom right now. You know that, Uriah. But David, blind with lust, says, bring her to me. So David and Bathsheba have sexual relations, and surprise, she becomes pregnant. And so now David is in a lot of trouble. What is David to do in this circumstance? So he starts doing the math. He's smart. He calls Uriah back from battle. Uriah gets back from battle, and David says, why don't you come over for a banquet? I'll give you delicious food, wine, and then you can go home and sleep with your wife. Uriah says, not a chance. Not a chance. Not while my men fight. I will not sleep with my wife if my men don't get the chance to do that as well. So David realizes he's in trouble. He's busted. So he sends a letter to the front lines, and this letter calls Uriah to the front lines. And the front lines, for those of you who have ever seen a classic film where we see the English battling and two lines are facing towards each other, it's a slaughter at the front lines. And here in this circumstance, we know that Uriah dies in battle. David then marries Bathsheba, which wouldn't have been a big deal in that culture. I'm sure at this point, he thinks he's probably gotten away with it. Now, if he could just get his conscience to be quiet, he would be able to live in peace. And that story brings us up to the passage where we will be this morning. So if you can turn to me over to 2 Samuel 12, I will start reading in verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished, and he grew it up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. I'm sure many of you are wondering, this is a strange relationship that he had with the sheep, this poor man. What was this relationship? I'd venture to say this relationship was probably similar to what most people would have with their dogs today. Some people love their dogs so much they treat them like humans. They have them up on their lap. And some even put clothes on their dogs. And I'm not even going to go there because that'll probably get me into trouble. So we know that this lamb was cherished. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Are we tracking at this point? He takes the lamb and he guts it. He skins the lamb and he cooks it for dinner. This is a rich man who probably had the most access to any of the lamb in all the land. Let's pick it up. Verse 5. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and has no compassion. Verse 7, probably the most horrifying. Nathan says to David, you are the man. You stole the lamb. You killed it. You are the man. just as the rich man stole the poor man's one and only lamb, we see that David was the rich man who exploited the poor man of the one thing that he had. He took Uriah's wife from the rich man, or from Uriah. Nathan was willing to speak truth to David in a way that is challenging for us all today. Imagine someone you know who has coveted, who has committed adultery, who has possibly murdered, and you know that God wants you to speak to this person. Just imagine in today's culture, if Nathan said this to David, what would people say? I'd venture to say probably, how dare Nathan confront David? Who does Nathan think he is? To call out David? Nathan was not hung up on the fact that what he would say would challenge David. Just as Nathan was used to speak truth into David's life, so too are we called by God to speak truth into our brothers and sisters' lives. But this is by no means an easy thing to do. Because who among us enjoys confrontation? I believe that all of us here today, at one time or another, have wrestled with when we should, as Christ's followers, speak truth into a situation. This morning, I would like us to examine three key areas of Nathan's circumstance that gives us the ability to know when and when we shouldn't speak truth into someone's life. The first area I'd like us to look at is Nathan's relationship with David. Without a relationship with David, Nathan wouldn't have listened to what he had to say. In 2 Samuel 7:3, we see that Nathan did have a relationship with David. They probably weren't best friends, but we know they did have a relationship. And the items in the parable point to the closeness of their relationship. For example, he uses a sheep which he knows David has a long history of being around. When Nathan was sharing the story, I'm sure David could think of the exact sheep that he would have on his lap in that story. He was probably reminiscing about that sheep. Nathan knew David's previous confrontational encounters with rich men. And of course, Nathan knew David's strong desire for justice. We see that Nathan constructed this parable based on a relationship he had with David. Later on in the text, in verse 15, we know that after Nathan spoke to David, he did not retreat, he did not flee to the hills, but instead he went home. David was willing to have Nathan speak what was on his mind, and he didn't suspect Nathan of any evil. He clearly trusted Nathan. I remember years ago when I was in youth ministry and I was in Halifax, and we were going door to door. We were handing out flyers for an upcoming event at our church, and I remember specifically going up to one door. And we handed the man a flyer, and as soon as we said we were from the church, woof, closed the door in our faces like that. I'll always remember it. I was shocked. This is not saying that there is no time and place for the door-to-door technique, because I have had good experiences in the past with it. But I do wonder what would have happened if I did have a relationship with that man. Would he have invited us in to talk? To share? Would he have received our message and invitation? I'm sure there are many times when all of us have probably said more than we should have to someone we weren't in any type of relationship with. This speaks greatly of the importance of building relationships with people before being able to speak into their lives. Nathan had a relationship with David, therefore he could speak into his life. The next area in Nathan's life that reveals what's necessary to speak truth into someone's life is his relationship with God. In Nathan's circumstance, he was a prophet, which means he was being used by God. He was a spokesperson for God. Nathan knew the law. He clearly saw the three times that David broke the law. He clearly saw the three times that David broke the Ten Commandments. Coveting, adultery, murder. And just as Nathan was close to God, so too do we as Christ's followers have the ability to be in relationship with God. We see in Ephesians 1:5, it said, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. This means that through Jesus Christ, we are called into relationship. God has adopted us into His family, and we have the ability to have relationship with Him. I believe all of us will be prompted to speak truth and love into someone's life, but it does take us examining ourselves. Do we have a relationship with God? Are we in His Word? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Are we in the Word so that when we come to a place where we do have to correct or reprove, that we know the Word? Are we attempting to hear His voice? Are we being convicted by the Word? What is going on in our hearts? These are a few indicators of how we might measure our relationship with God. I love what J.I. Packer says in his book, Knowing God. He puts it like this. We must learn to measure ourselves not by the knowledge of God, not by our gifts and responsibilities in the church, but by how we pray and what goes on in our hearts. This is a good indicator to know if we are to speak into someone's life. This certainly does not mean the person has to be perfect, but he or she must be in relationship with God. In this passage, we don't see Nathan forcing the law down the throat of David. But we do see Nathan being strategic and thoughtful in his circumstance, in bringing the truth to the light for David. Nathan had a relationship with David, but he also had a relationship with God. The last area is that of being sent. In 2 Samuel 7:2, we see that Nathan was a prophet. And like I said earlier, a prophet was someone who spoke on behalf of God. This means he was in relationship with God and had a clear wisdom to discern when and when not to speak. Just as the prophet Nathan was sent to speak wisdom from God to David, so too I believe all Christ's followers are sent into this world. In Matthew 28:19-20, we know this verse well. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Just as Nathan was sent, I believe all Christ's followers are sent into this world. But this simply does not mean making converts. Just making converts. Discipleship is far more than making converts. This means we are called to walk and journey alongside people and point them to God. And as we walk and journey alongside people, the result is that God will speak into our lives, into others' lives. And just as Nathan was sent from God, this means that there will be times when those following God will be prompted to speak truth into another person's life when it's not easy. Whether this is a friend or a loved one, traveling on a course that we know is clearly headed for disaster, we feel conflicting emotions inside. On one hand, we want to say something to make our friend or family member stop doing what we know to be evil or foolish. On the other hand, we are reluctant to say anything because they may see it as critical or get angry with us or say hurtful things. This puts us in a very unhappy state as we try to decide between the two difficult paths. Our conscience will not allow us to let evil go on, and our affection for the person does not wish that anything might cause pain. For me, I think of two people who God has used time and time again to speak truth into my life. And that is my parents. I probably wouldn't have admitted this in my teenage years to them, but it was my parents. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. I remember specifically my mom calling me out on issues in my life and saying and asking me, "Owen, are you living Christ-like in that circumstance?" And would I have anger inside in that time? I would have anger towards her in my heart, and I'd want to say something I'd regret. But as time passed, my anger would subside, and I'd feel overly convicted with the truth that she presented. When we find ourselves in a hard place of speaking truth into someone's life and are questioning when to talk to someone, it's important that we follow Nathan's example. Nathan had a relationship with a person. Nathan had a relationship with God. And Nathan was sent. The parable and the lamb and the circumstance surrounding it show us today that sometimes the easiest path is not always the best one. Sometimes it takes boldness and courage from God's people, even when it's difficult. God used Nathan to bring David back into right relationship with God. Imagine if we as God's people were so attentive to God, just like Nathan, that when he said to speak truth into another's life, we acted. Imagine if we embrace the fact that when we step out into faith, God meets us there. Imagine if we, the body of Bethany Chapel, embrace the fact that we can be used to reconcile others back into relationship with God through our words. May we, as the body of Bethany Chapel, be willing to speak truth into others' lives when God prompts us. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful for Nathan's example of how to speak truth into others' lives. We know this is not an easy thing to do, and it does require wisdom and guidance from you. Lord, may we seek to be a people who are attentive to God's leading in our lives, so that when He prompts us to speak truth, we do it. Amen.